really great. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that we can know you, that we can have a personal relationship with you as we dive into your word, God. And God, that we can learn how you have orchestrated life to work, God, and that we can get in rhythm, in sync with the Holy Spirit, that we can be in step with you. And that we would, God, help us not to walk according to our old nature, according to our flesh, Lord, but help us to walk in the new way, according to the Spirit, God, to see things the way you see them, to have the priorities that you have. In your precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, so we're in the midst of our series on God's life hacks, looking at the book of Proverbs, seeing how we can live life, how we can do life better, right? Because we've said many times, if you live according to the wisdom of God, life will be better, right? You'll still have heartache. You'll still have troubled times because, let's face it, we live in a world that's broken, that's messed up, right? How many of you guys have ever been hurt in life? Yeah, we all have. How many of you guys have caused your own hurt in life? All right, now that's what we're trying to work on, okay? Because I can't help you work on your neighbor, but you know, God's word has a lot of instruction and a lot of wisdom for helping us to avoid our self-destructive tendencies, all right? So today we're going to talk about God's life hacks. We're going to talk about growing in our faith. And we're going to talk today specifically about preparing for Judgment Day. Okay? How many of you guys have heard of this thing called prepping? Anybody heard of it? Okay, like doomsday prepping? What is it? You stockpile canned foods and ammunition, and you get an armored car or something like that, right? Yeah? Ted, you got a great truck for it. We can but you armor your car, you do all these things, and it's called prepping, and it's like a fad, really, right? And people get really into it. You remember Y2K? When people, like, they built underground bunkers, they had canned foods, they had all sorts of stuff. Well, in one way, that's kind of wise, right? According to the world's eyes, but God, in his word, he tells us that things are winding down, that there will come a last day. There will. There is going to be a last day. There's going to be an apocalypse. Okay? That's what the word of God says. But his method of preparing for the last day is radically different from what you see people prepare, how you see people preparing today. God's advice is not stockpile and get ready and hide in a bunker, but his advice is, well, let's look at the word, all right? Okay, first of all, the first thing that you need to do to prepare for the last day or to prepare for the apocalypse is have a relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? Have a relationship with him. Get to know God on a personal level. Okay, because if God is just, like Darren was saying earlier during communion, if God is just an idea, right? If you say, oh yes, I believe in God, but he just remains this kind of out there idea. Oh, you know, yes, there is a God. I believe that, you know, something had to come from a mind, right? For all of this to be here, there has to be some sort of a mind behind it. But if that is all that God is to you, some creative force behind the universe, then you don't have this personal relationship with God that Jesus is talking about. Jesus says, I've come to give eternal life, and this is eternal life, knowing God the Father, right? So knowing God, having that personal relationship with God, that is eternal life. That's real life. And so if you haven't got that step right yet, then you're not ready. OK, you're not ready for the final day. But if you come to Jesus Christ and you say, God, I turn from just trying to be good enough. I turn from all of my attempts to get right with you. And I want to just know your Son and know the Father through the Son. Then, hey, you'll be ready for the apocalypse. But then there's a further thing. Once we get right with God, once we have a right relationship with God, God encourages us to do certain things to prepare for the last day. And he does encourage us to stockpile, but not to stockpile here. Because, let's face it, if there's a nuclear holocaust, your bunker is not going to necessarily hold up all that great. Right? But God says, stockpile for the next life. Francis Chan, he gives a wonderful illustration. He takes a really long, like 60-foot rope, and he stands on one side of the stage, puts a little piece of red tape around the end of the rope, and says, this is your life here on earth. The rest is your life throughout eternity. And we spend 99.9% of our time thinking about this little section, this little piece of tape on a huge long rope. And we spend all of our time thinking about that when we should be thinking about the next life. We should be thinking about the hereafter. And one of the ways that we can prepare ourselves for what's coming, one of the ways we can prepare ourselves is generosity. Generosity. The Bible has so much to say about being generous. Proverbs basically is comparing the wise man and the fool, right? That's really the theme all throughout Proverbs. It says the fool does this, the wise man does this. The fool does this, the wise man does this. You know, the fool says whatever comes to his mind. The wise man is gentle. He weighs his words before he speaks them. The fool is lazy. The wise man works hard. The wise man prepares for the future. And another characteristic of the wise man is generosity, right? In Ephesians, okay, oftentimes when we think of hard work and working hard, we think of, okay, I'm going to work hard so that I can improve my quality of living, right? Well, in Ephesians 4:28, before we go to Proverbs, let's just read Ephesians 4:28. It says this. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. All right? Now, in the West, we say, work hard, get a job, make something of yourself, so that you can better your life. But look at what Paul says. He says, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So Paul says, work hard, make a living, go somewhere with your life. Not so that you can, you know, just increase your standard of living, but so that you have something to share with the people who are in need. So looking around ourselves and seeing, hey, there are people around me who have needs, who maybe are not as fortunate as I have been. How can I share? How can I bless them? How can I bless the other members of my community? So in Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25, I'll start there and go to 27, says this. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. All right. So the apocalypse, judgment day. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. Do not be afraid of what's going to come on the earth. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is within your power to do it. So God shows a lot of concern for our hearts, right? He shows a lot of concern for our hearts towards the poor, specifically. When Jesus walked around on this earth, he was always ministering to the poor, the down and outers, the broken, the messed up. Proverbs 14:31 says this. I'm going to jump to several different Proverbs here. So just follow along with me. 14:31 says this. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. It's amazing. God has chosen to be represented in the world by the poor, right? When we talked about several years back when I first came here, I talked about how Jesus says, if you've done it for one of the least of these, you've done it for me, right? So God chooses to be represented in the world. He chooses them as the kind of his ambassadors to the world, right? So if you do something nice for them, you're doing something nice for him. So similarly, here he says, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. You can honor God by how you treat the poor, by how you treat those in need. Proverbs 11, 24 through 26 says this. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. So here the Bible is saying, be generous, and you won't lack. Be generous. Give out. Give even out of your need. Right? There was an interesting study done recently where they looked at people when they spent money or they gave up money, and it lights up the pain centers of the brain. It really does. So like spending money lights up the same part of your brain as, you know, getting stabbed in the hand with a knife. Yeah, it really does. So there is not just money has this way of becoming part of our identity, right? And we place more psychological value on money than we ought to, rather than it being just a tool, right? A tool like love and services, a tool for buying love and services or for giving love and services. You know, it becomes a goal, right? Money becomes the end goal. And the acquisition of stuff becomes the end goal rather than becoming tools to be used, right? So, another verse. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 28. We're jumping around quite a bit here, but I want you to see the overall theme here. Proverbs 28, 27. Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. And then let's also look at 19:17. This one I really like. This is a good one. Okay. 19:17 says this, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. Woe! Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. So the Bible here is saying, when you give away money to those who cannot give back, when you give away whatever it might be, whether it's money, whether it's service, whether it's skills, whatever you might be giving away, that's like lending to the Lord. That's like giving to God. And notice it says lending, right? So you're lending to God, who's going to then pay you back. Maybe in this life, maybe in the next life. Jesus, he gives a really great parable of this. In Luke 16. Okay, we're going to jump to the New Testament real quick. Luke 16. Verses 1 through 9. Jesus tells a parable, and it's a really, really almost a little bit confusing at first. A lot of people misunderstand this parable and misunderstand what Jesus is getting at. So we'll try and unpack it today. Luke 16, 1 through 9. He also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. So there's a manager. He's not doing a great job at it. So the rich man says, get in here, turn in your accounts, and I'm going to fire you, basically. So get your stuff in order, clean out your desk. You're going to be done really soon. Doomsday is coming. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses, or people may receive me. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first one, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So you see what this guy's doing? He's calling in one after another of the debtors and he's saying, how much do you owe? 100? Okay, take your bill and write 50. Just between you and me. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. All right. Okay. Do you see how this can be kind of a confusing parable? Who's confused? All right. Okay. So Jesus says there's this manager who's managing somebody else's wealth, and he's not doing a good job at it. All right. So the rich man comes to him and says, you're done. We're going to get rid of you. Your days are numbered here. So the manager thinks to himself, oh, man, I've got no opportunity outside of here. This is all I've ever done. I'm not strong enough to dig. I really don't want to go begging. How am I going to create a better future for myself when this job ends? So he says, he calls in all the people who owe his master money. And one by one, he starts doing under the table stuff of saying, okay, you owe 100 here. Just take it and write 50, you know. And hey, remember me, okay? Here, you owe 80, just take it and write 40, okay? Hey, remember me, okay? So what is he doing? He's scamming his master. He really is. He's doing something extremely dishonest, but he's looking out for his future. He's looking out for his interests later on. Now, Jesus is not commending him for scamming people, okay? But what he's saying is, this guy gets it. His time at his present job is limited. It's almost over. He's going to get fired. So what's he doing? He's preparing for the next step. He's preparing for his future life. He's doing something extremely dishonest, but it's extremely shrewd. It's extremely pragmatic, right? It's very pragmatic. And Jesus, at the end here, what does he say? He says, and I tell you, starting in the middle of verse 8, for the sons of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth. Okay, that word is mammon, okay? So physical, material wealth, he's saying, use that to make friends for yourself in eternity. Use your physical wealth here on earth to make friends for yourself in eternity, so that when the physical material wealth fails, what do you have? You have friends in eternity. You have a future in heaven, right? You have all of these other people who are going to be welcoming you into the kingdom because of how you spent your money here on earth. So by being shrewd about it and not just saying, you know, not looking at our current circumstances as this is going to go on forever, right? This is not going to go on forever. Our life is not going to go on forever. Either Christ will return or we will die. One of those two things are going to happen, right? Guaranteed. So make friends for yourself in eternity. Put it into the next life, not just looking to this here and now, not just looking to your current circumstances, but looking to the future. So that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. How we spend here will determine the extras that we get there. All right? How we spend here, how we live our life here on this earth is going to determine, to a large extent, the extras that we get when we get there. Okay? Now, if you place your faith in Christ, hey, it's still going to be awesome. Okay? You're going to be received into heaven. You're going to be in the very presence of God. But there's an opportunity now to sow into the future, to as it's put in the parable of the talents, right? I love this. It says, come and partake of the joy of your master. So somehow, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work out, but somehow when we get to heaven, all of the joy that God has taken in the way that we've lived our lives here is going to reflect back to us, right? So like the heat coming out off of the sun, okay? That joy, that intense joy that God has felt is going to warm us as well. And we're going to get to enjoy the reflection of his joy upon the way that we've lived our lives here. So think about that, man. You know, that little short momentary life can have such a big impact on eternity. And we give, and Jesus, he took it really far. He said, you know, lend to those who can't pay you back. Give to those who cannot give back. Be generous to those who, you know, they're not going to be able to return it. Be generous to those people. I've been listening to the biography of Oswald Chambers recently. The guy who wrote My Utmost for His Highest. Man, what an amazing, amazing guy. Young Scottish preacher. But he lived this so clearly. One day he had a guy come up to him, tell him this whole long sob story about how he'd come on hard times, how he just needed some help to get him on his feet. And Oswald Chambers looks at him and he says, "Sir, I don't believe a word of your story, but the Lord has told me to lend to those who cannot repay. So here you go." And he gave it to him, and the guy walked away. And the people that Oswald Chambers was staying with at the time, they chewed him out for it. They were like, "What are you, crazy? You know that guy? Do you know what that guy's going to use that money for?" And Oswald Chambers said, "That's not what God's called me to be concerned about. God has called me to give, and how he spends it, that's on him." And 3 days later, he gets three times the sum of money that he gave away. That was all he had in his pocket. He gives it away. 3 days later, three times comes in. Just amazing. So we're called. That's so radically different from how we think, right? But again, we have to let the scripture shape our thinking and not our thinking shape the scripture. I love. Proverbs 21:13. I'm going to read one more verse here from Proverbs. And then we're going to kind of wrap her up here. Proverbs 21:13 says this: "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." Whoa. That's kind of frightening, isn't it? That's serious. But this is showing how seriously God takes the cry of the poor and the oppressed. He says, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." God is serious about helping the down and outers. God, he does not want us just to sit off in our ivory towers and let be unconcerned about the rest of the world. You know, we were talking about it this morning when the most common emotion that Jesus felt in the Gospels was compassion. He saw the multitudes and he was compassionate. He felt compassion for them. And God likewise wants to transform and change our hearts so that we are not just sucking and sucking the world in and possessions and all of these things. What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? He wants us to be transformed, to turn it out so that we become salt and light, right? Light shines out. Okay, light, it emanates from a point, but then it goes out to other things, right? The opposite of that is a dark hole, right? How many of you know what a dark hole is? Well, no one knows exactly what it is, but it's a point where gravity is so heavy that even light itself cannot escape. It just sucks everything in to the point where even light itself cannot escape from this mass, this heavy, heavy mass. And they call it a dark hole. God wants us to be the opposite of that. He wants us to be emanating light. He wants us to be salt and light in the world so that from us goes out an expression of the goodness, the generosity of God. and so that we're not just, so that we don't suck, right? God does not want a bunch of sucking Christians. He wants Christians that emanate forth life and light. Hey, you guys have dirty minds. All right, but but he does not want us to just suck things out of life. He wants us to give. He wants us to be generous people. He wants us to be conduits through whom he can bless the world. You notice how all of those proverbs are saying, if you trust God, if you are generous, he will look out for you. Withhold not, want not. Withhold not, want not. Give, and it will be given to you. That's a promise of God. But do we trust that promise? Do we trust it? Or do we need to be pragmatic, practical, looking out for our own needs here and now? Or do we say, God, I'm going to give to you with abandon, because I trust your promises. I trust you. And what you have called me to do, I know that you'll supply for me if I'm faithful with what you've called me to do. Jim Elliot is famous for saying, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. All the things that you see around you here on earth, eventually, someday, they're going to burn up. They're going to disappear. You can't take it with you, right? We were in youth group, we were watching these videos called Christianity Explained. And the one guy tells a story of a rich man who had a robber come up to him and hold a gun to his head and said, your money or your life? Your money or your life? And he waited a few seconds, and the rich guy is kind of just standing there. And he says, come on, man, your money or your life? And the rich man says, hold on, I'm thinking. Okay? We all see the foolishness of that, because you can't, if you lose your life, you can't take your money with you anyway. And this is a reflection of the heart of God. It really is. Our generosity is one of the best ways for us to reflect God to the world. John 3:16, the verse that so many of us know from childhood, right? For God so loved the world that he withheld his only son. No, the word there is gave, right? God is, in his nature, God is a giving God. God is one who bestows blessing, even upon those who really don't deserve it, which is you and me. I cannot stand that saying, God helps those who help themselves. I can't stand it, all right? There's nothing more anti-Christ than that saying. Because really, that's where we get into all of our moralistic, religious, work it attitude stuff. God helps those who help themselves. No. God helps those who can't help themselves, which is you and me. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And in a similar way, God calls us to reach out to the poor. God calls us to reach out to the down and out. God calls us to give generously to missions, to people who are out there spreading the gospel, bringing the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Because through doing that, you are winning for yourself friends for eternity. People who will receive you into the kingdom. People who God says, when you get up there, and there are going to be people up there rejoicing with you because you gave a check to Great Commission Media Ministries. And they're going to be like, hey, look, you funded that ministry. I'm here because of that ministry. And we're going to have friends in eternity that we will never even meet on this earth. But they'll be up there because we were giving and generous. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let us likewise be a church, be a people who are characterized by giving, by emanating forth light, salt and light to the world, and not being just black holes of consuming. All right? We have to fight it, though, because so much of our culture is the consumeristic culture. If you get this, you'll be happy. No. I saw Dave Ellen last week when she taught the Sunday school. She had a quote out there by Winston Churchill, right? You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. Right? We have to give. We have to. Let's stand together. Tony, you want to play a song again? I want to give us a few moments to reflect on this. Now, first of all, you can't do this without the Holy Spirit doing a work in your life. All right? Because naturally, within ourselves, we look out for me, myself, and I. Number one. But when the Holy Spirit comes in a powerful way into your life, He will radically reorder your view on everything. And you won't look at material things the same way anymore, because you'll be walking according to the Spirit. And you'll be willing and able to just drop things and let them go. Give them up. Give them over. And you won't see people the same way either. You'll see people as created in the image of God with infinite value. Even the bum on the street has infinite value in the eyes of God. And therefore, our priorities are radically altered. So let's just invite the Holy Spirit just to change our hearts. Those parts of our hearts that are still sucking inward. Invite Him to transform us so we emanate forth light and life.
I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. And yes, I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. And yes, I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
My heart, my mind.
My heart, my mind. My soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. And yes, I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I praise you, lift you up, I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Amen. Praise you, God. Lord, we thank you that you loved us in such a special way, that you gave your only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. God, that you did not withhold goodness from us, but you poured it out upon us liberally through grace, God. And Jesus, we pray that you would transform our hearts likewise, that we would not be so just caught up, stuck on ourselves, Lord. God, we want to be a generous people. We want to be a people that are characterized by our love for you and our desire to bless humanity. To bless the people around us, O God. Change our hearts, O Lord. Make us more like you. May we be accurate and true reflections of you in a dark world. And God, I just pray for your blessing to rest upon the church, Lord. To rest upon everyone who's gathered here today in this congregation. God, that you would go with them throughout this week. Lord, that you would shower your goodness upon them. Help them to just know that you are so, so good. And that we can just taste and know that you are good, Lord. In your precious name. Amen. 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 Thank you guys so much for coming out this morning. Please join us downstairs for lunch if you're able to. And we look forward to having more chance to talk with you guys. If anyone needs prayer, please come on up and see me. If God has always just been an idea to you and you don't have a personal relationship with Him, please see me afterwards. I'd love to just talk to you, even if you just want more, even if you just want to know more, even if you're not quite ready to take that step. Please talk to me. All right. See you downstairs. Be blessed, guys.